I ever crossed, I stick it in because I see it slotted. I kick it in the ribs to have it turning and tossing down, down through the weeds and the rain, where a man can't lie and a woman can't faint. St. Peter's on his nose break, the devil's just insane. You can always eat the mother after drinking her milk. Deliver me, doctor, deliver me. Doctor, deliver me from this world. I don't believe in happily or in after. I don't believe in dreams I can't recall. I never got invited to the rafters. I never got where sinners never see themselves falling down, down through the fire and the smoke, where a leg can't sit and an egg.
Sound at the broom that night, which is super nice to hear crowd footage that actually sounds like half decent. So it was exciting, obviously exciting to work with legends like that and just see how like a well-oiled machine they like, you know, set up in 10 minutes, sound check like immediately. And it was definitely a key experience for me.
How was the crowd?
It was awesome. It kind of built up through our set for sure. And it was nice to see some friendly faces. You know, at the broom, there's like that awkward first 3 meters in front of you where everyone's afraid to like the danger zone.
The empty pit.
Exactly. So I was like, come on, guys, get it closer. And eventually it worked and they got closer. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you need one dancey song and then people go crazy.
You know what? Like the broom sometimes, because it's all ages, they'll have like a kid that's like some sound guy's kid that'll just be like dancing to your music right in the front. That is like the ultimate icebreaker, I feel.
Totally. But we've come here today to talk about what's coming up next for you guys. So there is an album in the works, as we've been talking about for a little while, but it's finally been announced. Tell me a little bit about it, because you just dropped the socials, like the cover art for it and everything on your socials today as we're recording this, which is a little bit before you'll be hearing it. But it looked really intriguing, like with the little letter and like the sort of reach out kind of thing. Very classical.
Yeah, we went back and forth on some different like cover art ideas, and one was me sitting like this with a newspaper that was on fire, and anyways, like we tried some different things trying to go with that paper, like piece paper pleasure imagery, which is a lyric that is in the second track, I believe, on the record, that I kind of just like really enunciate piece paper pleasure in a row. So I thought that was kind of a cool image to go with, and then played around with some rock paper scissors stuff and painted my whole arm red and black like undertone, and then red in order to get that like scary like crackly devil skin look. And then I'm now a hand model, and I just got the red off like 2 days ago, and that was like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago we shot it now. So yeah, it was commitment to the bit for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And fresh off the photo shoot as well.
Yeah.
So remind us of the album name again.
The album's called Piece, Paper, Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming out?
It's coming out on April 5th.
Okay.
No, April 4th.
April
4th.
And the day's creeping up on you.
I know. It's like, you know, March goes by. Well, February is like a blink, and then and then March is really fast too. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, like we've been hearing about the album for a little while. It's your debut album as well. So like, you know, special moment for you guys and the whole band, right? Because this has been in the works for a little while.
Yeah, it's a real process, like slugging through it yourself and like getting it all done in the studio, and, you know, like all of the sending back and forth. And like I've said before in interviews, like I like to make sure that I'm really happy with how it sounds before it goes out, and I'm ready to release it and be proud of it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like fine-tuning it again and again in the studio.
Yeah.
And like from what I'm hearing, we've heard a couple of the tracks already. The first track you're going to be playing for us, It's Not You, is already out. I'm hearing, like, based on what you played today at least, a lot of different influences on the album. Like there's definitely some kind of psychedelic rock in there, some real classic rock vibes too, a bit of a country twang, some kind of folky narrative indie stuff as well. Like there's a lot going on in there.
This is like echoing my entire like struggle promoting any of my music. I'm like filling out, because you know, like everything, like Spotify playlists or radio stations are like, what genre are you? You can only choose one. And then I'm like, okay, like alternative, so like alt country, indie folk, like it feels. And then my producer through the whole record was like, this sounds like Oasis. And I was like, so that just adds a whole other like element into it. But I'm still looking for that. You know what? I think there is a cohesion to it, even though it's all over the place. And I think it all comes from being written around the same period of my life. So yeah, I'm still looking for that audience who gets me and gets my writing. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think you get it.
I think once people have the full body of work as well, it'll make sense together, right? Yeah. Like, there's always something special about those albums that click as a unit, and you're like, okay, in the grand scheme of this album, everything makes sense.
Yeah, and I like those kind of like moments of like respite in it. Like, it can get really big, and then it'll dial back down to something really meaningful. Like, there's one song that I wrote at Blue Skies, and it's like a really feely one, and it comes like right after a super loud moment, and it's kind of just like you're walking through the woods and then you see a clearing, and then maybe you're going back into the woods and falling down a well in the last song on the record. But yeah, it's a journey at least.
So you're thinking about how the album paces itself as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now we're gonna go into your first song. It is out, we've talked about it a little bit, but because this is a different show, let's tell people a little bit about it.
The song's called It's Not You. It was written in a kind of like, it started as a writing exercise of me just journaling furiously and thinking about like frustration and resentment against other people and other, you know, situations. And then as the song developed, this like imagery kept coming up of me like looking in a mirror, and then I realized that it was kind of me processing a lot of like resentment I actually had with myself. So it was kind of in a way a little bit healing to go like, you know that Spider-Man meme where there's like three different Spider-Mans pointing? I was like, oh, I'm Spider-Man in this situation. So yeah, it's called It's Not You.
Okay, let's hear it right now.
It's not you, it's the thing that you said. It's the fire you left at the side of the bed. It's not you, it's the face that you make. Looking so unafraid, leaving nothing to say. It's not you, it's not you, it's not all about you. Hasn't been, never was from the start. It's not you, it's not you, it's not just about you and me. You're the muse, not the art. Was nice for a while, guess I'll fight my own fight. Yeah, I guess the life's never really treated you that right. And it's been a long day and a long good night. And I catch myself making a mess of it all sometimes. But when you look at me and try to tell me nothing's changed, and I just don't bad, try to shift the blame. You stand looking at me, staring at your brain. But it's a shame, cause it's not you, it's not you, it's not you.
Heard It's Not You by Evan Jackson.
We're here live on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to the CFRC Live Sessions. I'm your host, Rue, and we're here with the Evan Jackson Band, the full band at last. But Evan, you're a really busy guy. You're also in the Sugar Pills. You've been sort of like making music sticker. Here and there.
Yeah.
Love that. You've got the big sticker.
Yeah.
So how different, like, because you guys have been in the studio, recorded a few tracks for Sugar Pills as well. How different is it, like, doing your solo stuff?
Oh, that's a really good question. The way my writing has changed even over the past year, like in collaboration with these guys, is totally different than previously. So in Sugar Pills, it's, well, also because we're like at a distance from each other, right? Because Sid lives in Ottawa, so it's a lot of sending back and forth. It's still a lot of sending voice memos in group chats with us, but it's kind of, it starts with lyrics or melody, vocals, and then sometimes like a little basic acoustic guitar thing going along. And then the next thing I'll do is usually send it to Jord, and then he'll kind of decide the guitar tone for the song. And then, I don't know, these guys do their magic. Like, what do you guys do, rhythm section?
We're putting you guys on the spot.
They just wing it. Yeah. Yeah, so and then it comes together, and we don't usually do a big edit once the song is kind of done. It just is like filling out, like deciding when it needs to go back to the verse and just cleaning it up, really, I'd say. But we kind of just try to leave it, and then it's like, if you got a better idea, it's going to go into the next song.
Yeah. Except for the final track on the album. We did a big edit on that one.
Oh, yeah, with the toots, toots, toots. Yeah, you'll know what I mean on the 4th of April, but it goes down a big rabbit hole, that one. It's super fun. I'm really, really excited for you guys to hear that. There's a few on the album that I'm just, like, so pumped to get out there, but that's one of them for sure.
Yeah, we've been hearing about that last track, so I'm really curious to, like, hear what the big, like, psychedelic moment really is.
It's so self-indulgent, like, releasing a song that's, you know, like 5 minutes plus in today's age of, like, you know, minute and 39 second songs that are TikTok audios. But I was like, yeah, we have to do it. Like, it's just inevitable. I can't stop writing it. So
yeah, I mean, once you've gone over 30, you're kind of outside the TikTok zone. Yeah. Anyway, so you may as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you may as well keep going with it.
Do you guys do a lot of the socials and stuff then? Like, are you on TikTok?
I was actually during the beginning of the pandemic, and I was getting like decent traction back then. And then all I was doing was scrolling through TikTok and listening to other music artists. And I was like, you know what? I am not like really creating right now. So I deleted the app and I wrote a lot of this record, actually. Like, that's kind of the point where I started writing this. Mm-hmm. And then just never downloaded it again. But I'm obviously stuck in the constant social media trap of posting to Instagram. I have a lot of fun with the design part of it. I love all the visuals, and I'm like really fortunate to have, like, Liam does a lot of the visuals too, as with Sugar Pills, and Liam's sister as well does a lot of that in like merch design and stuff. So I'm really grateful to have a team that helps me, because it is more than a one man job, that's for sure, running a social media anything.
Yeah. And I mean, for the album as well, just coming back to, we were talking about like recording it and stuff. You'd mentioned when we spoke for Indie Wake Up Call that there are also a couple of strings and stuff in there, which is always like a big moment for the band, right?
Yeah.
So like, how did that kind of factor in? When did you decide songs need strings too?
Well, for Coal Mine, which you're going to hear at the end of this set, it was a natural progression. I actually went into that with that one Lana Del Rey record as like, this is kind of the sonic space where I want to take the song. And then of course, it totally never went in that, like, that, that's what ends up happening, but it ends up going somewhere special anyways. But when we recorded the album at Port William Sound, which is in Mountain Grove, Jonas Bonetta is the producer, and he loves, like, Mellotron, and he's got all these really cool old synths that I wanted to buy off of him for Sugar Pills, but they are still there. Like, this, there's, he's got this Triton that's so cool, but anyways, he's so inclined with, to just add and layer on stuff like that, and he really knew the soundscape with that material, like that song, Coal Mine. It just, he knew what he was doing, especially with throwing the strings on that thing.
I can hear a bit of Lana Del Rey, especially on your first song, It's Not You.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, there's a bit of that in there for sure.
I like that dark kind of like ethereal pop.
Yeah, that's stuff. Slightly kind of sad and melancholic, like indie pop, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
add a new genre stuff to the list. That's cool.
There's another one in there for fans of Lana Del Rey. Okay, so we're going to hear your second song.
This one's Nixon. Okay. This is from the first EP that I did, and I'm still really proud of the song. Hope you like it.
I've never looked like this before. By myself, a mask that looks like Nixon from the Family Dollar Store. No brown wig and a broken microphone. And if I'm getting tired, at least I'm not. Like this before. By myself, a mask that looks like Nixon from the Family Dollar Store. No brown wig and a broken microphone. And if I'm getting tired, at least I'm not alone. Said if I myself a mask, it looks like Nixon from the Family Dollar Store. No brown wig and a broken microphone. And if I'm getting tired, at least I'm not alone. Said I'm not alone. Fighting for the right, I'm just fighting for that night. Me and Nixon, we are so strange in some ways. He's a hell of a
You just heard the song Nixon by Evan Jackson.
Here we are on T4C Live Sessions one last time with the Evan Jackson band. And you guys have the album coming out. We've talked about this Peace Paper Pleasure, right?
That's the one.
That's coming out on the 4th of April. And you've obviously got stuff planned for it.
Yeah, so we're kicking off the album release with a release party the next day at the Grad Club. So excited to play there because... I just love the big red velvet curtains behind the stage.
Sure.
It's very like David Lynch, and that's everything I wanted for the show is like, give me red velvet curtains. And I got them, so I'm really pumped. Yeah.
Given all the time you spent painting up your arm for the album cover.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky to be joined by Jess Woolowich, and she's got a backing band for this gig too. And
okay.
She actually recorded, at least I know a few of her new songs at the same studio at Port William Sound that I did. So sonically, I think it's going to blend pretty well that way too.
Mm-hmm. And the Grad also has a little bit more of that like energy going on, where the Broom, like you were saying, sometimes it can be a bit spaced out.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, get right up in my face. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do it.
What can people expect for that show? Like, are you going to sort of run through the whole album?
I think we'll do a run through, maybe with a couple interruptions. And I've got to play a few old ones that we like, and probably the covers that need to be played that were kind of crucial in designing the sound of the album. We'll probably play a few of those that mean a lot to us. But I really want to put on a good show, and I'm really focused on the visuals of it as well, and the lights and the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to get a branded drink with the bar at the Grad Club for it. So if it gets there, I'm excited, but we'll see.
I mean, peace, paper, pleasure. You could do like a peach paper pleasure or something like that.
Peace, paper, plane. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But
that too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have like a peach drink of some sort.
Yeah.
Like play on that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something like dark and stormy. That's actually a cocktail. It's like dark and stormy. I don't know. I don't drink rum, but yeah.
And so going into the show, how is it for you guys as a band? Any like band rituals? I'm asking this one because we were band saying before we should have a few fun questions too.
At least for me, no caffeine the day of, and then don't eat anything that's going to upset your stomach. It's just like, I think we've decided on sushi is like the golden thing to eat before a band.
Basically our routines are based on like IBS. No, it's just like I mean, it can be nerve-wracking to get on stage, but like you never want to be playing with something really heavy like a burger.
Yeah.
every venue is like, here, have a burger and fries while like you're doing soundtrack, which is awesome, but first of all, your fingers get greasy.
Yeah.
It's like having wings before you play. Just imagine that. And you're like, you're playing and you're like, I can feel the burger weighing me down.
Feel the burger.
So it's sushi it is, yeah.
Yeah. Not too many drinks between sets either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's fun when you're the opener because you can chill after. But like when you're the main one, you got to be like locked in. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's your big night.
It is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm excited to share it.
And the 4th of April will be your big night because the album drops, and then, of course, the 5th is the album release show. So fun times coming up for you guys. But we're airing this on the 13th of March, a Thursday. You've got a single coming out tomorrow.
I do. It's Coal Mine, and you're going to hear it now.
Yeah, tell us a bit about it.
Well, I actually started writing this song around the same time as I wrote Nixon. And like, if Nixon is like the good character, this one is like the evil kind of like split off of it. Definitely not a protagonist in this one. I just tried to like write it from the like most desperate perspective I could imagine. And I like just pictured crawling the entire time. Like, it just has a crawling and like grabbing onto someone's heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the line that's, I can track you for miles just by smelling your skin in the sun. because it just like paints a pretty visceral image and could be like a serial killer biopic backtracks. But
I feel like that's the thing with a lot of songs, right? Depending on how you look at them, it can either be like really caring and really romantic or totally stalkerish.
Yeah, it's totally a perspective thing, and like maybe what kind of day you've had. Yeah, if you had your coffee and sushi or not. Yeah.
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 Well, okay, so we're going to go out with this one last song. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Finally, the whole band, after all, right?
They're real.
Where can people follow up with you guys and like find you online, find the album and stuff?
You can find the album everywhere you listen to music on April 4th, Peace, Paper, Pleasure. My name's Evan Jackson. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Bandcamp if you want to send me money. You can find me on, what else do I have? Facebook. We got the whole meta suite, baby. yeah, that's me.
Playing around town.
Yeah.
Playing around town.
Absolutely. You'll see my name. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go out with Coal Mine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Hey, this is Evan Jackson, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. In this week's episode, we caught up with Riley Fitzgerald and Aidan Belli of Rust Pump, who joined us to chat about their newly released self-titled three-track EP. After our conversation, we'll listen to all three tracks from the new release. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, guys, thank you for coming into the studio today. Thank you for joining us here on CFRC. Let's talk about all things Rust Pump. So, guys, maybe Riley, starting with you, could you tell us a short story about Rust Pump and how you and your fellow bandmates found each other?
Of course, yes. So about 3.5 years ago-ish, I came to Kingston, and I came to Kingston as a student at St. Lawrence College. I did the music and digital media program, and there I met Isaac and Liam, who are the now bass player and drummer of Rust Pump, and it just started the three of us, and we played all the time in between class, during class, and we had access to a studio, and I was the guitar player and singer, and so we were just a three-piece, so we started out as a three-piece for the first like year of Rust Pump, and slowly we started playing all the venues. We were really lucky. One of our first few gigs, we opened for Luscious at the Toucan.
Yep.
And that was super fun, and that kind of got us a little bit of traction right off the hop, and then we started doing all these great gigs, and we started we played at the Horseshoe in Toronto and did little like GTA tour kind of style things where we were able to hit like Oshawa, Hamilton, and Toronto. And then Aidan and I were a part of a bit of a side project where I was the bass player and he was the guitar player, and we got to know each other a little bit. And then eventually I was like, hey man, like, you would fit great in Rust Pump. And I definitely think, I would rather be able to focus on like rhythm guitar and just like vocals. And it'd be great to have someone like you like playing guitar. And he really wanted to. And we did a gig at the Toucan and it worked perfectly. And we've been doing the thing since.
Right on. So Aidan, over to you. So what drew you to want to be a part of Rust Pump?
Yeah, of course. So I'd say right off the bat, Riley's energy, the way that he was able to control a crowd was electric. And right away, it felt like a good fit. We would always vibe out about, you know, the same artists, the same music. We both kind of loved that like 60s, 70s rock thing. So it worked out pretty quickly that we became good friends and started making music from there.
Amazing. And now back over to you, Riley. So where does the band name Rust Pump come from? It's an unusual one.
Yeah, it surely it is. It was this weird like name that I kind of came up with when I was quite young, it was like a name of a group chat that we were that I had when I was young for like playing some like games and stuff with my brother and cousin and family, and it really doesn't. Of course, it doesn't have a meaning because what is Rust Pump, but. Whenever we were looking initially to have a name, no one had any ideas, and I was like, well, I have this one idea. And I was like, you know, the name is as good as you make it, really. And I was actually recently, I was talking to one of the guys from Casador, and he told me that he initially went to see Rust Pump at the first time we ever played Homegrown. He went to go see us just because, like, the band went to go see Rust Pump just because of the name. Mm-hmm. They were just curious about what that would be, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. All right. So I'd love to hear from both of you now about what the songwriting and composition process is for you. Aidan, can we start with you? What does this look like? Who's in charge of lyrics, and how do you work together to compose the music that you've created?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say our normal process is always a little bit different, but as a general kind of guideline, Riley will come to a practice. He'll kind of have lyrics ready or like an acoustic riff ready. He'll present it to the band, normally me first as the other guitarist, so that I can kind of bounce harmonic information off him. And then from there, we'll kind of show it to the guys, and we'll honestly kind of just jam it out for like 10, 15 minutes at a time, see what sticks, see what we like, what we don't like. If we're feeling that the energy's high, we'll go a certain direction, that kind of thing. But I'd say it's a general process. Riley normally brings it to the table there.
All right. And now over to you, Riley.
Yeah. So I think it's also evolved because for sure when Aiden first joined, it was just me like writing stuff and bringing it to the group. But it kind of evolved into like this jam thing where Aiden or even Isaac sometimes would start with a riff. And they would just play it, and it would just be like this fun jam kind of thing. And then I would just come in with some random melody and some random lyrics. And, you know, I'd write like 100 verses and like try out a whole bunch of different things and just slowly, like, I would even sometimes record it and then listen back and decide what I liked and didn't and try to like cut it from there. But, yeah, I think a lot of our music was born out of jams.
Nice. So with that, with your new self-titled EP, is there an overarching theme that occurs across the tracks?
I would say overall, with this EP, we wanted to take the opportunity to kind of show how versatile we are as a sound. You know, we're used to doing kind of 3-hour gigs at the Merchant and all that stuff. So we wanted to bottle all of our experience into 3 tracks that we felt covered our whole range. So if we take a song like Drool Again, that's kind of our attempt at the indie rock sphere. Our song Never Home, that one's kind of sitting right in that 70s funky rock thing. And then Hung Up is kind of like our modern interpretation of all of our influences kind of combined into one.
So do you keep recordings of the earliest cuts?
Oh, I have, yeah, if I go back in my voice memos, I have recordings of when a lot of the songs were first written, and it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty eye opening because, you know, since then I change a lot of things. I change like melody, lyrics, and I try to, like, you know, a lot of times when I am writing, I'm just kind of spitting stuff out, and then it just needs a lot of reforming, right? It's not usually The first thing I write isn't usually the thing that sticks, but it's the idea, the overarching idea is what, you know, really is what we can work with.
You're right. And so both of you have sort of said, like, waiting for that thing that just sort of sticks when you're jamming out and experimenting with some new material. What is it that makes it stick for you collectively?
I would say, honestly, when it gets into that kind of jam moment, so let's say that we've come up with a riff that we like, you know, let's say we're in a weird mode or something like that musically, you know, Isaac and I will look at each other, and then the moment that we get a little smirk out of one of each other, we're like, okay, that was something interesting. What can we do to make this into an actual song? Because I feel like with our instruments, it's easy to get lost in like, let's see how complex we can make this. But if we can just take like a complex idea and then make that the riff and then turn the tune into something interesting, that's when we know we're like, okay, we might have something here. Let's show it to Riley, see what he's thinking, see if he can get some words over this.
Nice. All right. So now let's hear more about the work that you've done to create this 3-track EP, which you recorded and had mixed and mastered, I guess, over at Open Sessions Music Studio right here in Kingston. So let's hear about the work you did to make it happen in that studio.
Well, yes, Open Session Studio. That is, we have quite the history with it. So Open Session Studio is run by my brother, Sam. And he started the studio out of the house that him and I both live in. So not only is the studio like really close to home, but it's also the place that Aiden and I use for practicing a lot of times to get ready for gigs and whatnot. So it's quite a versatile studio in that sense. And it was also kind of when my brother was starting out like with the studio and making it more of a professional thing, because he had been working in it for the past like 2 years now. But really this year became it became its own identity, and he's been recording tons of bands in it, and the sound quality is like incredible. You know, it's really, it's amazing to live in a house that has such a functional studio. So yeah, anyways, we were looking to record, and my brother was gung-ho for it, so it kind of worked out really well. And Aiden actually is going to be living in this house as well soon, so it's there's definitely a lot of history going on in this this little house, and we live downtown-ish, so we're pretty close to the action as well.
All right, so you guys recently released your 3-track EP, self-titled EP, and I understand you had a release party at Signal Brewery on March 27th with Texas King. How did that go?
Honestly, that was incredible. Texas King are amazing. Their originals in particular, they're just so powerful. And as a band, they are so tight together. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about them. They're incredible. So when we got the opportunity to play down at Signal with them, you know, we had to jump right on that, make sure that came to fruition. And Signal itself is a beautiful venue. It's newer from what I understand as well. So yeah, that was just honestly great kind of vibes all around, and they loved the tunes as well. We hit it off with the band right away, so it was definitely a great successful kind of release party for that.
Amazing. Riley?
Couldn't say it better myself. We were also blown away. None of us had ever been to Signal Brewery, so we didn't really know what to expect. It is kind of in the middle of nothing, and it was what, probably like a 50 minute drive for us or so from Kingston. Yeah, about 50 minutes. So it was awesome. Like, the whole day was cool. Getting there and just seeing like the building and seeing this insane river like rushing, like it was really like high tide, right? So it's just like this insane looking river right beside us, rushing extremely like aggressively. It was beautiful. It was a very sunny day. So it was just like, I don't know, for us, the whole thing felt kind of different than what we're used to, especially because we were there at like 2 o'clock for sound check, and we're typically used to going at like 8 or 9. We're used to, yep, a bit of those later nights, right? So the whole thing was done quite early as well, which was definitely new to us. So it was really awesome. The only time we really get to do that is like Broom Factory typically. But we've spent a lot of our music careers in bars playing until 2 a.m., right? So we appreciate a nice early night for sure.
Fantastic. And speaking of performances, do you have any upcoming shows or festival appearances or even tours coming up this spring?
So right now we're booking. We've been in contact with a lot of different bands. We're very much writing right now. So we're trying to, we've gotten into this trap of just constantly gigging and never having time to write or record. Mm-hmm. But with all the students leaving and we're kind of going into tourism time, we're kind of trying to lock into writing and, you know, getting some, like, cause we released the 3 song EP, but you know, definitely more up our alley and style is like a full length album, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like you can get a lot more across and something like that. So we're kind of in that stage right now. And of course we've been doing a lot of really great gigs with great bands. So we're kind of on the radar for a lot of bands now that we, you know, that we would never have really been seen by before. So we're definitely planning a lot of big stuff, ideally, in the next couple months for sure.
And now over to you, Aiden. How can people keep up with the latest news and maybe more new music that you'll be writing this spring coming from Rust Pump?
Yeah, of course. So I'd say the best way to reach us would probably be our social media. We have Instagram and TikTok that we're going to start monitoring a lot more seriously now. It's just the way the music industry goes now. So we're working on plans right now for digital content to be fired out to the world, including our songs and, you know, all that good stuff. Like Riley kind of mentioned before, the Castor guys have been really kind to us and helping us kind of as mentors, showing us what to do, what works best. So yeah, we're looking forward to working on our content strategy going forward.
Amazing. And now we are going to listen to some awesome music. We're going to listen to all three tracks from your new EP. So, Aidan, you did touch on each of the tracks in terms of their sound. Riley, I wonder if you can expand a little bit about each of the tracks. We've got Never Home, Hung Up, and the lead single, Drool Again, which was featured in the Release Radar series. So tell us about the songs.
So they're all very different, and they all have a special place in our hearts. I think Never Home is this incredible song because we have the two Ukrainian girls that we met in our St. Lawrence College program, Marina and Valerie, and they sing the chorus. And that, again, another song that like started off very, very differently. Like the way I was singing the chorus and the melody I had was very different. And then I brought in one of the girls to just sing like a backing vocal during the chorus. And then whenever she was singing it, she was following the keys that were on. And it just, all of a sudden I was like, whoa, wait, this sounds really cool. So I rewrote the chorus so that she, like with new words and new melody and everything. And then she sang it and I was like, this is amazing. Let's get the girl in here as well. So it was really cool. It was one of those songs that like really changed over time. And I it's personally one of my favorites that we've ever written, just because of how, again, 70s rock it kind of sounds and how big those choruses sound. I also got one of my friends, Michael Zuzek, who did lots of performing in Kingston as a student, and now he's doing the same thing in Toronto. So he's the one who played the keys on the song. To me, it really made the song. It completed the song in every way. Hung Up is a song that you would definitely recognize if you've ever been to a Rust Pump show, because we pretty much play it almost every time. It's just become a staple of ours. And it's also just such a fun song. Like by the end of it, you can get the whole crowd screaming it, like just giving it all they can, just belting out, and it's really easy to catch on to by the end of it, right? So it just takes a little bit of crowd work, but everyone wants to scream by the end of it, which is the goal, right? So and Aidan, I always go over to Aidan during that too, and him and I both sing the big chorus shout parts and stuff. So it's very theatrical and honestly one of the most fun songs to play live. And then Drool Again, as I said, started off as this acoustic, sad kind of sounding song, and it became something so much more and so much more in depth, and something that I definitely think came out of a bit of sadness, but became something way more like psychedelic and happy and kind of just like mesmerizing. And I'm really excited for all of them, really. I'm happy that we were able to get the sounds we did, especially in the like such a great recording environment. And I'm excited to be able to share them. So thank you again for playing them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. And congratulations to you on the new EP. Looking forward to hopefully some new shows coming up, and certainly waiting for more new music from you as well. Thank you so much for joining us here on CFRC and the Release Radar Rundown. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure as well. And we'll hopefully talk to you very soon.
Thank you very much.
Tell me what you like. I'll give you what you want. Say you like.
Make me go far away.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, call me up in this place. Now guys, so far away. You turn me on, I'll never stay.
Thank you.
me. Tell me what you like.
And you just heard Hung Up and Never Home, two of the tracks on Rust Pump's new three-track eponymous EP. And thanks to Riley and Aiden of Rust Pump for joining us to chat all about it. And just a reminder that local musicians who want their new music amplified on social media and aired right here on CFRC Radio, you can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to give us a follow at CFRC Music on Instagram as well. For now, we're going to end our show with the lead single from Rust Pump called Drool Again off that new EP you can stream anywhere. Thanks for tuning in to Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen for CFRC. We'll see you next time.
Never fall from where you stand.